Everybody, welcome into the Bills Wire Daily Podcast. I am your host, Jeremy Uhas. This is a Tuesday edition of our daily podcast series, proudly presented to you by USA Today Sports Media Group. On this Tuesday, as we ramp up toward Friday's matchup against the Browns, I've got colleagues Rich Kowalski and Justin DeLauro going to join me here in a moment. I want to remind you all that you can subscribe to our daily podcast. We're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. We have an exciting lineup of guests coming up here in the next several days, so make sure you keep it tuned in for us when we do post our next podcast, because we're, like I said, getting a great group of guests here momentarily to join us. And as we ramp up into the season, we're only going to increase those interviews. Media members in the Buffalo area, nationally. Yesterday we had Rob Guerrera on from NBC Sports and Pro Football Talk Live, so it was good to catch up with Rob. And looking forward toward the regular season now, as we approach Friday's second preseason game, the quarterback position is really still the talk dominating Bills camp at this point, as it's about to wrap up. Bills camp almost over, and the team going to be permanently fixated in Orchard Park. So with that, let's bring in a couple of these knuckleheads from the Bills Wire staff. Joining the Bills Wire Daily Podcast now is a former friend of our podcast, Rich Kowalski. Hey, Rich.
How's it going?
It's been a long time. And then also fellow colleague at Bills Wire, Justin DeLauro, who's been on a couple times. Hello, Justin. How are you?
Hello. I'm doing very well.
So we have a bit of a roundtable for this podcast, this 12th episode of our daily series. Guys, we are getting closer to, well, the regular season, of course, but then Friday's game in Cleveland against the Browns. We have a little bit of movement at the top of the depth chart in terms of the quarterback position. Josh Allen moving up a little bit, getting more reps with the twos at camp. Brian Daboll speaking this morning to the media. Any big takeaways from early camp notes?
Honestly, just I think it's just very interesting now that you see it starting to play out who's going to really maybe be more in the mix at quarterback. It's kind of, honestly, it's starting to turn into more of an even competition. Before, you kind of felt that McCarron was kind of the hot hand and was going to be the guy going into the season as a starter, especially with his experience. But now it's kind of, it's a little bit even. You know, yesterday, McCarron and, or day before, I think it was Sunday, McCarron and Peterman both got a little shaken up, but they came back from their injuries. They're okay now, but it's getting hotter, and it's going to be interesting. I mean, as these games come up, these next few preseason games, I think you're going to get a better look at who they like more, maybe who's getting more reps, who's getting more time with the ones. But it's getting closer, and it's getting exciting, honestly.
What about for you, Justin? Anything standing out here as we gear up for Cleveland and Buffalo later this week?
I think with the quarterback situation, you're starting to, I mean, obviously Josh Allen's starting to really push the hand of the staff to think maybe Josh Allen might be a week one starter. I know it might be a little early to consider that idea, but based on his performance Thursday night with third teamers and him seeing a little bit more time with the second team and even some first team reps, we might be seeing somebody who could be able to squeeze his way into a week one starting spot. So that could be kind of an interesting developing story. So depending on how he's used Friday, that could give us a little bit of a glimpse into what we might be seeing the first week of September.
And this obviously, too, is developing the whole LeSean McCoy situation. Looks like he was mentioned in a civil suit filed. But quoting John Warrow here, says that an AP source that the lawsuit filed against McCoy, quote, does not affect his status on the team. But maybe to be determined to see if the league would do anything or keep their investigation going. But what do you guys think? Do you think this will linger into the regular season, or do you think we'll come to a resolution here soon as far as McCoy's status on the roster?
Honestly, I think it'll linger into the regular season. I don't think anything will happen until at least maybe late this year or next year. I don't think anything's going to affect how he's going to play or if he's going to play. Because these things usually get drawn out. They take a lot longer than everyone expects, but I don't expect that to really linger too far. But if any action would be taken, I wouldn't expect it until next year.
Yeah, the NFL doesn't really expedite their jurisdiction at all in anything I feel like this is something that will go quiet, and then all of a sudden in 3 weeks there will be a new wrinkle to this story. But until Goodell has enough information to really bring down a decision to suspend or not to suspend, this is probably going to be kind of the holding pattern for McCoy.
Yeah. Guys, a big development at the wide receiver position today. Zay Jones is no longer wearing the red contact jersey. Which, by the way, I need to ask you guys, why do you think they choose the color red as the non-contact color?
It's a target.
Right, exactly, for like bulls wanting to stomp and run over you. You know, all these guys are using a red blank. I mean, that's what you see. But
I wonder, do they factor into people being colorblind? Because I'm sure that might honestly have some effect on some players. I remember the Bills-Jets game.
The Bills were all red.
Why would they wear all red? They should wear something that's kind of universal. But, I mean, I guess red, maybe.
What if they wore like a tie-dye?
Vast majority. Yeah, a tie-dye.
A tie-dye shirt is non-contact.
Camo jersey.
Won't be able to see him. No.
Correct. But honestly, it's just weird that red is the color. Anyway, but just getting to Zay Jones in terms of his impact on the team, obviously huge. It looks like, even according to Dable, he's running around pretty well. And that's just going to be a huge boost for this receiving group that lacks, I guess, a lot of talent at that position.
Absolutely. I think that Zay coming back is going to kind of even kick into gear the competition even more. You have so many guys out there trying to fight for so few spots. And if Zay's able to produce and if he's able to look like he could be a potential starting wide receiver this year, I think that's fantastic, especially after what he did last year, after the whole offseason. It'd be a huge win if he's able to at least go out there and start some games this year. I mean, I was worried, honestly, that he wasn't even going to be able to play week one. And now that he's back out there and able to make contact and everything, that's huge.
Yeah, I think it's going to be big for Zay, because I think what's really going to be important for Zay is actually Corey Coleman, because hopefully what will happen is Corey Coleman will go outside opposite Benjamin, and then Zay and Curley can run inside routes, run in the slot, and I think that would really help Jones a lot, because I feel like that was something that he did a lot of at East Carolina, and just sending him on an island last year contributed to his struggles.
Absolutely.
So, looking ahead to the Browns-Bills matchup, obviously we have Tyrod Taylor, which I need to pronounce correctly now, because for the longest time, media and fans were calling Tyrod Tyrod, and he corrected somebody and saw that on Twitter this afternoon or this evening that it was mispronounced. But you have Tyrod Taylor, and you have a lot of guys back and forth. Obviously, Coleman that you just mentioned, Justin, who I think is going to obviously play a big factor in the Bills' passing game. But for a preseason matchup, this is pretty intriguing. You got Baker Mayfield on the other side, another rookie, obviously, in Allen for the Bills. And I'd like to see some more growth and play out of Tremaine Edmonds. Not that he was bad at all in his first preseason matchup, but he didn't really stand out. And it's hard, I guess, for a middle linebacker to do that. But it'd be nice to see him maybe get a sack or a tackle, you know, behind the line of scrimmage or something like that. It'd be nice to see him grow going into week two. What are you guys looking for in this game on Friday night?
Honestly, it'll be interesting. For me personally, like you said, seeing Mayfield up against Allen, two of the guys that were drafted this year, is a big deal. It's nice that NFL Network is covering that game too, so maybe the national audience could kind of take away some of their stereotypes about Josh Allen and maybe take away something a little bit better and not be so negative about him, but you never know. But it'll be interesting, though, seeing those two rookies up against each other. And then you have Jordan Poyer coming back to Cleveland. I know it's not a regular season game, so it's not as intense, but it'll be interesting for him, I'm sure, returning to where he was and where he was. Kind of his career was in a strange place when he got injured there and missed the rest of the season, and the Bills pick him up, and he turns out to be a fantastic player. I'm sure it's going to be a little bit emotional for him going back there.
Yeah, I'm going to look and see if the Bills' offense can regain that efficiency that they had last week against Carolina, because that was quite a surprise that they were able to be able to move the ball in the manner that they did last week, especially through the air. So if it's something they could do 2 weeks ago in a row and kind of cement Dable's ability to call plays, even though he said last week was a little vanilla, I think it will be very intriguing, especially if all four of our starting wide receivers are healthy and ready to go.
What are you guys looking for in terms of, obviously the quarterback position is going to get scrutinized, but then other positions, we talked a little bit about wide receiver. The offensive line seems to be pretty much entrenched. How about that running back position? You have Marcus Murphy, who came on strong in the first preseason game. I think Tywan Jones and those guys fighting for that third spot are going to be maybe a group to watch come Friday.
Absolutely. I mean, especially since you see with Dable's offense, I mean, you saw it a lot on last Thursday where you're having a lot of screen passers. You're having the running back involved in the passing game a lot more. You didn't really see that as much in the past. You had it a little bit last year with Dennison, but it's almost something new for Bills fans. And I think it'll be interesting to see how he's able to build off of that and maybe build more into his playbook and see some more exotic looks, see some more things that they might be looking to do in the regular season. They're obviously not going to show exactly what they're doing during the regular season, but you'll get a little bit of a taste of that. And it was very fascinating to see just how well Marcus Murphy ran on Thursday, just to see he almost had sort of like a LeSean McCoy-esque running style where he's super low, making quick cuts, trying to do a lot of fancy things out there where you didn't necessarily see that very often. But I think it's going to be interesting because you're going to have a committee of running backs and you're going to have guys that are all different sorts of tools that Dable's going to be able to use in this offense. And if Marcus Murphy is able to step up, I think he could have a fantastic role in the offense this year.
Yeah, and I think I'm going to look at the wide receivers in particular. Sal Capaccio tweeted out earlier today that the big five that have been running with the first teams are Benjamin, Curley, Holmes, Streeter, and Zay Jones, and then Coleman was the next man up. So depending if this team decides to keep five wide receivers or go to the six that have just been mentioned, that's one thing to keep an eye on. Also, we've seen like Ray McLeod and Kalen Clay and Cam Phillips make plays. Austin Prohl, do any of those guys really have a shot at bumping out any of the veterans? It's something that I think will be interesting to see, especially if those guys aren't playing in the second half, but they get a little bit more time playing in the first half with the second team and playing against an NFL second team defense.
Let's have a little fun, guys, and think of what do you think it would take if the Bills wanted to go after Khalil Mack and pry him out of Oakland? Just because, I don't know, I like to talk about some of this other stuff that could be pipe dreams for some people, but it's a need the Bills desperately were trying to shore up. And Trent Murphy has been injured a lot in camp. We hope that he can kind of be the player that they thought they were signing. But if he's out for a while with a nagging groin and he's not going to be able to be in the lineup and you're not getting a pass rush from Shaq Lawson, but maybe he's setting the edge well against the run, that's fine. Khalil Mack in a Bills uniform would not only just put the fans at notice here and be probably majorly stoked that he's on the club, but I think it would fill a huge need too on the defense. It could make them a top five defense at least. So what do you guys think? Is it even maybe something that Brandon Bean should be looking into, calling Oakland about, or just kind of stay away from it and use all that cap money next year?
Well, to be honest, I'd be very, very surprised if Brandon Bean hasn't at least touched base with Reggie McKenzie in Oakland to just, ask him what he's looking to do, what the situation is, to see how that contract negotiation or holdout is going. I'd be shocked if he hasn't talked to him at all. But that doesn't mean that he's necessarily going to make a move or pull a trigger anytime. I think whatever Oakland wants to get back in return is going to be a lot. It's going to be involving most likely a player, and it's going to be involving a lot of draft picks, especially when you have a guy that was defensive MVP. I think the Bills ultimately probably won't make a move for Mac, but that doesn't mean that they won't try. They won't maybe throw out some offers just to see how Oakland reacts to that. But at the end of the day, I just don't see Mac even moving. I think he just is in it for the money right now. He might even show up to camp in a couple weeks or show up to preseason. I just think it will take a lot to get him to move to Buffalo.
Probably too much, right? Join.
Yeah. It would take an insane amount of trade capital to make it work out. Although, I don't know, like, I would love to see Khalil Mack in a Bills uniform, but with this upcoming draft, apparently it's extremely defense heavy from everything that I've read, especially guys on the front four. If the Bills are predicted to finish where they're supposed to finish and get a top 10 draft pick, they could end up with essentially a Khalil Mack type player. I know that's kind of, you know, I'm trying to stretch it into something good right now, but I don't know if I'd rather make a first round top 10 draft pick of a defensive end than end up giving up several draft picks over the next couple years to end up acquiring Mack.
Yeah, it's a good point. I think going younger, having maybe a cost-controlled player who's, yeah, top 15 talent, you'd rather have that than... Not that Mack is extremely old at this point in his career, but...
No. He's 27, but still, it's... I mean, we're looking at Jerry Hughes right now, who's at 27, 28, started to decline a little bit, and hopefully he's coming back as a 29-year-old, but not that Mack would fall into that role, but it's something that could happen, so the cost effectiveness is something that would be great from a draft pick.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, we will see what happens, I guess, Friday evening. Any final thoughts on either the game against the Panthers that you guys want to throw out there, or any points that fans should be looking forward to and toward in the game upcoming against Cleveland you guys want to touch on?
I think let's make sure we're watching the defensive line a lot more, you know, as fans, seeing how that rotation's going, how Harrison Phillips is maybe in there more than others, just seeing how they're able to react to a somewhat lower-end offensive line of Cleveland and maybe get some sacks on Friday.
Yeah, and I'm going to go on the other side of the ball for the offensive line and look at, can this team protect A.J. McCarron or Nate Peterman or Josh Allen, whoever's in that first half, realistically, can they do it back-to-back weeks, give the quarterback some strong protection so that we can get the ball out to our wide receivers and have another effective day through the air?
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for jumping on this edition of the Bills Wire Daily Podcast. We'll do this roundtable again, maybe kind of recap next week after the Browns game. And obviously into the regular season, we'll have a lot more times to catch up and chat as well. So thank you both, Rich and Justin, for joining me.
Anytime.
Thank you.